What's going on? It is the Film Drunk Frogcast. I'm Vince Mancini. Ben is down south this week for some family stuff. So this is probably going to be a disaster because he's the only thing that keeps this thing organized and running in a linear fashion. But nonetheless, it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk some Oblivion. We got some news stuff to get through. We got Brett on the Skype line.
Boo! I mean, hey.
Grumpiest man in New York. And we got Pam Benjamin, local comedian.
Hi.
And just a delight. She has just such the nicest...
You're a delight, Mr. Mancini.
The nicest NPR soothing voice.
Oh, thanks.
If you're used to listening to us, you're not used to being soothed, so...
Oh, I'm trying to be sexy. I'm not trying to be soothing.
Okay. Well, they go along. They're going hand in hand, you know?
Okay,
one of
fair enough.
So, you know, just relax. Maybe get in the tub, open up a couple of veins, and Pam is going to just talk you right into dreamland, and it'll be great. Right?
Yeah, no, hey, open it up.
All right.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so, Pam, I wanted to get the, let's get the full backstory, because, you know, you got...
The full backstory.
Yeah, like, you started out a nice little Christian girl from Danville.
I did. I was a nice Christian girl in Danville. I was a religious zealot. I was raised very, very wealthy. Didn't know that till I went to college at UC San Diego and went to Mexico. I'm like, people build houses out of garage doors? That's insane.
What are they thinking?
I grew up in Danville. So that was interesting. I made all the right choices until, you know, I owned a house. I was married. I was married for 7 years.
Owned a house?
I owned a house. I drove a Lexus. I used to work at Ethan Allen. I used to be a teacher. I used to make all the right choices, but viciously unhappy. I left my husband when I was 32, came up to San Francisco for a life of sin, and got 2 master's degrees in completely useless arts, and then became a comedian.
What was the first master's degree?
I have an MA in fiction, and I have an MFA in poetry. So 2 completely useless degrees, really. And my original degree from UCSD is in playwriting. And then minors in dance and lit writing. Yeah, I'm a dance minor. Really, all these things really, really, really groomed me to be a great wife, which I was a wonderful wife, until I had dreams about my ex-husband dying, and then I was like, I should divorce this guy.
Really?
When you start dreaming...
It was the dreaming of... Oh, you mean like it was like a wish that you had that he
yes,
would die.
That he would just die.
The way she described it.
Yeah. Yes, when they, I kept thinking, like, if only he'd die, my life would be so much better. And then I realized that you're not supposed to think that when you're married, so I left him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you are, though. I don't know. I don't know nothing about no marriages.
Oh, it was terrible. The sex was boring, and I used to, you know, paste other people's heads on his body. Not really, not like actually make him
just
wear
mentally.
Masks, but just mentally, yeah.
A mental little vignette.
Yeah. And I knew that it was time to leave him when I started trying to use anal sex to save our marriage. And I was like, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to wear an old cheerleading uniform with no underwear. And you're going to wear your LT uniform. That's LaDainian Tomlinson, mm-hmm. for people who don't know about the Chargers.
Oh, we got a heavy San Diego contingent around here.
San Diego, Super Chargers. So he was supposed to charge in the door while singing that song in his LT uniform. Also, he was black. And he was supposed to butt rape me in the hallway. And he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And I'm like, because I'm wearing a cheerleading costume or because we're pretending you're LaDainian Tomlinson? Like, what are you, what's dumb about this? The anal sex? Is that what we're not?
Come on, just pretend this baguette's a football. And he didn't like to pretend. He wasn't good at make-believe.
He wasn't good at make-believe, no. So that was kind of the last straw. I was like, really?
Pam still fits in her cheerleading uniform, by the way, which is impressive. Where did you wear that to? Was that just like a comedy thing?
Yeah, it was a Halloween comedy contest at Chemo's years ago, put on by Alex Q,
that's
Matt
right,
Louvre,
right.
And Jason Duff. And I dressed
all
up as...
former Frogcast guests.
Wonderful. I love all 3 of those guys. And I dressed up as a cheerleader who'd been raped by the football team. So I went to this blood booth at a gay bar, and they sprayed my legs with fake blood. And it was running down my legs into my shoes. And I had my ponytails all askew with like dirt and stuff in them and like leaves, and I had a black eye and some blood coming out of my nose, and I like acted all confused, like I don't know what happened, like I was cheering and then I was underneath the bleachers and I got gang raped by the football team.
This is what keeps me coming back to comedy, by the way, because you know you go through rough patches. Like I did a headlining set at the Punchline a couple weeks ago. It went great, except for the part where I invited a bunch of people to pay $15 and then didn't get paid at the end. But
really?
You know, the actual comedy part was great, and people that I hadn't seen since high
school. Just fucking stiffed you?
Yeah, well, maybe. Perhaps. I don't want to. Yeah.
You're so nice. You don't want to air any dirty laundry.
Edit this out. Well, yeah, I want to keep getting booked and stuff. I don't want to be burning bridges.
Not for free, you don't?
Yeah, dude, I pay all my... You were at my show, and I gave you $20.
I know, right?
You gave it back to me. You wouldn't take it.
Well,
that's because you're too nice.
I enjoyed it.
I still owe you $20.
Well, that's because I didn't invite like 10 people over and have them pay money to get in.
No, but that's why it's not a bringer show.
Yeah.
My show's just... I just divide the door among the comics, and that's how it works. Because I believe that people should be paid for their talent.
That's right.
And not to be used for it.
I'm okay if you rent out the venue and you don't make your money back. I can understand. Because, you know, that's your risk and all that, and that's fine.
Fair.
It didn't seem like that was the case. But maybe it was. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy talking shit.
How long did you do? How many minutes did you do on the Punchline stage?
I did 20 to 25.
Jesus,
like
that's amazing.
It's actually...
That should be a $400 night.
Let's not get into the finances of it, even though I brought it up. But that's what keeps you coming back to comedy, though, because even when you know, it's something where I'm like feeling sort of burnt out on it, there's no other place where I could meet all these people that are just sort of just right on that edge of sanity that I would never meet otherwise. And I think Pam and my friend Joe are two examples of people that just have a different way of thinking than most people that I enjoy.
Thank you. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Like,
that's for
not,
sure.
Not in the way that she's like throwing her turds at traffic or something, but it's like she manages to have the thoughts of a crazy person without actually being a crazy person. And I always enjoy that.
Thank you. That's a lovely compliment.
I remember one time we were hanging out and I think you put your drink down and then you like left like you left like a little napkin on it. And I think it said like, please roofie me or something, like left over the drink.
Oh yeah. I love free drugs. Free drugs are the best. I'll take them all the time. I've always wished for someone to put some acid in my drink. I'm like, yeah, that would be great. Just walking
just
down the street.
Surprised by it.
Yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? That would be amazing. Like if all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I am so high right now. Who did that? I love you. You know, I might go home and make out with him. I don't give a shit. You gave me free drugs? Awesome.
Yeah, that's a courting strategy in my book. Did you see that clip of there was a police chief whose daughter had left a cake on the... she left a chocolate cake on the counter and he ate it. Like he ate the entire cake, which I thought was amazing. Like he just came downstairs in the morning, went, oh, cake, and ate the whole thing. And of course it was like full of weed and he immediately like drove himself to the hospital and like almost crashed on the way there and was puking and stuff.
What a pussy.
Yeah. It seemed fun.
How could he not tell if it was a whole cake? He'd taste it. You'd taste it.
Yeah.
Would you though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you taste it.
But if you know, I mean, if it's a heavy chocolate cake and they strain all the weed out of the butter.
I mean, if they made the ghee super, super professionally, I mean, you're still going to, if you eat that much of the cake, you're going to get a decent aftertaste from it.
You taste it, yeah. Oh, I know. I make pot food all the time. And even the stuff that's party strength and not like knock you on your ass strength, you still taste it. It's like, oh, this tastes like marijuana. Like, there's really no way to get over it. So clearly the police chief wanted to get high.
Could be. I don't know.
There's a company in San Francisco that just got shut down by the feds because this woman was making all these really amazing cheesecakes and stuff like that. But one cheesecake could get 30 people incredibly high. So these kids had it at a party and only 5 kids ate the whole cheesecake and they all freaked out. And so there were all these things, all these people coming into San Francisco General right when it got legalized. And it was, people were like just... And there, you can't overdose on it, but you have something called ego death where you're just like everything, your whole world just like puzzles apart.
I've fallen out of time.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like it's not actually dangerous. It's just you feel like it is.
I get to the point where I want to puke, though, with the edibles. Edibles are – I don't fuck around with that shit anymore.
No, I hate them.
I've had like four experiences where I wish I could have you know, called it. It's like, I'm out. I want to be out.
Yeah.
Well, it's like smoking, you can control your intake and then you're like, even if you smoke too much, you're like, well, this will be over in about 40 minutes. If you eat too much weed, first of all, you don't know how much you're eating until like a half hour later. Secondly, if you eat too much, you're like, oh, well, another 6 hours of this.
Or another 12 hours because it depends how quickly your gut, because it's being absorbed in your stomach and in your intestines all the way through. So if you puke, that's great because it's not going to absorb all the way. But if you don't, you can be high for 4 or 6 days. So one time when I was in Amsterdam and I was traveling via train to Brussels, we had a ton of hash and we knew that we couldn't take it on the train and we could get in trouble, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought we had this great idea. We would take a condom. We only had one condom though. So we split the condom up into three, split the hash ball up into three, and then tied off the ends of the condom. Well, two of the people passed their hash balls. Mm-hmm. Mine, the plastic came out, the condom came out, but no hash.
Ooh.
So I was high. Like, oh, wow. But it was great. I was in Brussels. And so like that, you know, the Magritte Museum was amazing. I was like, this is crazy. Surrealistic Belgian. He's my favorite surrealistic Belgian painter. It's so amazing.
You haven't experienced surrealism unless you've experienced with a hash ball up your asshole.
Yeah. Well,
that's amazing because I stopped functioning as a human being. I know people that can handle their shit even at the depths of total highness and they'll still kind of move around like a person. I'm squealing like an animal and rolling around on the floor and yeah.
Yeah, I just sort of hide in the closet and then I pray to God that I'm going to stop being so high soon.
It's going to be all right as long as I don't get any more. God damn it.
Yeah, make promises to the universe, things like that.
Yeah, just make it stop. I haven't had that problem with marijuana, but I have had that problem with ecstasy where I'm a gibbering fool. And one time I got blisters on the top of all of my fingers from touching things too hard. So I had these blisters on the top of my fingers because I was like, the wall is amazing. My pants are incredible. Your hair, what?
That's like some Of Mice and Men shit.
Yeah, I was drooling. I was seriously like, you're so fluffy. I want to save you. Oh, no, you're dead. Oops, small. Sorry, kitty. Yeah, but terrible. No, I've never really had too many terrible drug experiences.
Good segue. Speaking of Amsterdam, I did want to talk about Justin Bieber this week, who visited the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam. Inspired some controversy because he wrote in the guest book, hopefully she would have been a Belieber.
A Belieber?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, which, you know, obviously he's kind of a twat, and he got a bunch of shit for it, rightfully.
She was a Jew. She doesn't believe in Christ, you little asswipe.
No, believer in Justin Bieber. Though.
Right. No, a believer in Justin Bieber, but still you would say that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, but if you add the B, I think it just means you're a believer in Justin Bieber.
And he might be the next Christ too.
That's true. He could be.
Implied that he is in fact Christ in the believing.
That's true.
And yeah, Jews hate Justin Bieber.
Did not know that. So everybody gave him shit, but I did enjoy the response from the actual Holocaust or the Anne Frank Museum, which was, but a spokesperson for the museum, which is dedicated to preserving the memory of the girl and family, blah, 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 is defending the Canadian Wonder Boy amid the online vitriol. We think that what's special is that a 19-year-old comes to the Anne Frank house and spends an hour visiting on a Friday night. He could be doing other things in Amsterdam. He was very interested. That's more important than the commotion that we're now seeing. That's the positive side, and we want to leave it at that. And I was kind of proud of Amsterdam because I feel like that would never happen in America. I feel like they would use it as some sort of teaching moment, and there would be a lot of outrage about how dare you take this lightly and blah 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 blah. But in Europe, they're just kind of like, ah.
Well, it's Amsterdam. The Dutch are very tolerant people.
Yeah.
And the only way to piss off a Dutchman is to offend his tolerance. They tolerate everything. When I first got to Amsterdam, it was like 8 in the morning, there were all these businessmen in suits with briefcases, and we were all waiting for a tram. And then there was a man with no shoes and no pants and no shirt with long hair crying in the street, clearly having some sort of like...
So he had shoes, but he was naked otherwise.
No, he didn't have shoes. He just had boxer shorts on.
Ah, okay.
And he was running around in the street, and he was crying, and he came up to a businessman, and he's like, you've got to help me! And I think he might have been on mushrooms or something. But the man in the suit was like, yeah, you should go that way to the other. And it was like nothing happened. And I had just arrived there and I was like, this is Amsterdam.
You should go over that way now.
Nothing surprises them though. Like a man crying in the street, like with no shoes, no shirt, no service, no pants, nothing.
I could see walking down Polk and having that happen. And I probably wouldn't be super surprised.
We're tolerant here too.
Yeah.
Amen for San Francisco.
I would probably avoid making eye contact and keep walking.
Yeah.
Because... That's what I do, a tunnel vision out of everything.
Sure. I saw a guy pooping into a cup the other day, and it was diarrhea, and he had the cup, and it was, he wasn't doing a very good job of getting the poop in the cup. It was getting more on his hand.
I imagine that would be hard.
Yeah.
What was he saving it for?
I know. I think he was trying to keep it clean. I think that sometimes they just stick their butt up against a wall and then, like, do the back spray. Mm-hmm. But this guy was trying to be, you know,
socially conscious.
Socially conscious, and he was kind of near the street, and he was trying to poop into a big Burger King cup, and he was just missing horribly.
So. I once saw a guy do the building poop while another man who was walking by stopped to yell at him to stop pooping. Uh-huh. And so one man is squatting, batshit insane, not really recognizing the other person, and the other guy's just screaming at him, stop pooping. Stop pooping. I thought, yeah, that's about right.
Break out your cell phone and now have a viral YouTube video.
You know that you have nerves of steel when you can poop when someone's yelling stop pooping at you in public. I mean, like if you can do that, you can poop in a mortar, in the middle of mortar fire. We should put that man in the military.
Oh, I wonder what would happen if we used crazy people in the military. They won't listen. They won't follow directions. No, but we shouldn't be fighting anyways.
It'd be chaos.
Why would we? Why are we fighting anyways? Who are we fighting now? Who are we fighting? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I don't know who we're fighting.
Amsterdam?
We're not fighting Amsterdam. We're about to fight North Korea. That's pretty fucking scary.
Are we though, or are they just like, hey, I got some bombs?
I think that they're actually talking about it because something else really big is happening, and it's that same thing where. Whenever, like on the same day that they were talking about all the gay rights stuff and the marriage, on that same day they passed the Monsanto Protection Act. And I think that they're like, look over here, look over here, look over here. Gay people suck. Oh, don't let them have butt sex.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, everybody, Monsanto, just slide that right on in.
Yeah, we do a lot of arguing about things that don't really have an answer and aren't. I mean, look, I want gay people to get married, but... You're basically fighting to have the same seat that the rest of us have on the Titanic. And I want you to have that same size cabin, but in the grand scheme of things, it's
that was a good movie metaphor. Way to bring it around.
Oh yeah. I do
film
that.
Drunk. That's
I don't even think about it. It just comes out
it
of my pores.
Comes out.
That's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
You're gonna love the movies.
That's how I got this job.
How come they never show anybody pooping in movies? They really don't. It's not like a thing.
Like the only thing I can think in Me, Myself, and Irene, they had the dog pooping, and then it cut to him getting like a soft serve ice cream.
Yeah, remember that.
I'm trying to. Oh,
and then there's the guy. Ben Stiller has a fun scene with in that terrible movie with Jennifer Aniston. He's like, oh, in food, I'm gonna poop in your bathroom.
Yeah, which was the takeoff on Jeff Bridges in the Dumb and Dumber, the famous diarrhea scene.
Right.
I believe there was also Arlie Ermey, the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. I believe he took a dump on someone's lawn in Saving Silverman, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Saving Silverman, not a great movie.
No, surprisingly. I thought it was funny that in Australia, Saving Silverman was called Evil Woman. And I don't know, don't quote me on this, but my assumption is that there's no Jews in Australia and that they would be like scared about, they wouldn't understand like a movie, that someone decided that they weren't going to be able to go see a movie with a Jewish name in the title.
I didn't know that the Australians were so known for anti-Semitism.
I don't know if it's so much anti-Semitism as just like there's no actual Jews.
It's okay, there's no Jews in the word anti-Semitism either. There's no Jews there either.
Wow.
Has nothing to do with anything. It's just a word they made up because they're pretentious and they need their own word for racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. That's what I wonder all the time now.
Look, Jews, Pam's taking you to task tonight.
I am. Hey, I'm part Jewish, so I get to say things like that.
Yeah, but you also went to zealot school.
I did. My last name's still Benjamin, though, so I'm still part of the original 13 tribes, so I'm going to be pretentious about it. And I'm going to say I'm part Jewish.
You've earned that.
I'm white. I'm not even part Jewish. I'm just white. That's what Jewish people are. They're white. Get over it. You're white. Sorry. Is that mean? Is that anti-Semitic saying that? I'm sorry. You're white.
Ben's not here to make this all okay.
Oh, okay. So Ben's a Jew too. Fantastic. Yeah, we'll get him in on this later.
Brett, did you happen to see the picture that Tyler Perry tweeted of his stove?
How would I have come across that in my normal day-to-day interneting?
Well, if you've maybe read Film Drunk every now and then.
And I'm unfamiliar with that site.
What kind of stove?
His tweet said, over my stove in L.A., surround yourself with things that remind you to never give up. And he has a picture of his stove.
Is it a Viking range? What is it?
It's like a double Viking.
It's a double Viking range.
It's something fancier than a Viking.
Yeah, it's fancier than a Viking. Look at that shit.
But he has a tile over the backsplash on a stove. Just says, only believe in fancy script.
He's a dick. What does he need two ovens for? Like he's baking cornbread? Like what the fuck is he doing in there? Like
I'm sure he has a professional chef in
there. Yeah, I'm sure. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got 6 burners exposed and two whole plates not exposed, which means one of them probably pulls out and becomes a grill. Dick bag. Sorry, I hate rich people. It's like
I just like the incredibly vague affirmation. Like only believe? What does that even mean?
Well, you could put something after only believe in Christ, only believe in yourself.
Well, that's the thing. You could apply it to like only believe in Satan.
Flying spaghetti monster.
Brett?
Why only?
I don't know. That's what I can't figure out. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, I mean, that's genius. That's a juxtaposition. I'm not going to be able to think about anything else. I'm only going to be thinking about only believe for the next week.
I'm obsessed with his whole Twitter account and his, I don't know if we haven't talked about this with you here, Pam, but so Tyler Perry does this thing where he'll like I subscribe to his email newsletter because he'll literally tell a story about how he was on his private jet and like he was going through turbulence, and then he'll spin that into like a motivational tale of how you just have to keep believing until you can break on through the cloud cover, you know.
So he uses trite metaphors and cliches to.
Well, not only that, it's like he'll take a story about his super rich, very specific things that happened in his life, like digging wells on his property, which unless you're like a millionaire who's like digging wells on their or a farmer or something, and then he'll like somehow apply that. It's like it's just like when you're going through trouble in your life, and you're like, really? My troubles are just like the turbulence on your jet?
He's like, when you're digging a well and you get that dirt on your nails and you have to get your personal manicurist to come and dig it out and it hurts a little bit because she's Vietnamese and she maybe doesn't know exactly what she's doing. That pain that you're experiencing with your cuticles, I got that. It's like childbirth. It's like you ladies in childbirth.
That's exactly.
It's like when you're on EBT and you're like, do I keep trying? Yes.
I mean, I get that part of it because it's the celebrities are just like us, but reversed, where it's like you're just like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you've always wanted?
Yeah.
Which is deeply sad. But his word use is bizarre.
Is he even a talented man? No. I don't even like his movies.
He's talented as a cult leader. As an artist, he's like really bad. But as a sort of Pied Piper... He's very
good at publicity.
I enjoyed him very much when he was on Tyra Banks.
Really?
He was on America's Next Top Model, and he made the girls dress up really ugly and then walk around like the Santa Monica like mall and talk to people, and he fed them lines in their ears to like fuck with the people on the street. Tyler Perry, it was great. Oh, Tyler Perry. And so one of them was all dressed up crazy, and he was like, okay, go up to that woman and ask to eat some of her – just ask for a taste of her food or whatever. He was doing that. And then they had to sort of ad lib, and they had a thing in their ear, and they had to be silly. And then he judged which one was the best, and then they
I'm
got
impressed
to-
by that. I didn't think that he would have something like that in him.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the only time I was like, "Oh my god, I gotta respect you," because I love Tyra.
Yeah.
But
really,
she's a strange queen in a fantasy land.
Tyra taught me everything I know about taking a good picture. Keep it alive in the eyes, smize. I totally like. I've learned...
Well, you're talking America's Next Top Model, not necessarily Tyra.
Tyra, well, watching Tyra on TV has taught me how to know when walk into a room, know where the cameras are. She always says, if you walk in a room, know exactly where the cameras are and know when. Just be aware of them. Mm-hmm. So if a camera does come to you, like, or is around you, you have, and you're maybe in the background or you're in the foreground, make sure that you have the right angle because you know where your face looks best. You know where your missing tooth is, bitch. Mm-hmm. And so you got to know, like, where to angle your head, keep your chin down. Uh-huh. Close your eyes, 1, 2, 3, look up, and then that's how you make you... I've learned so much from her, I gotta say.
But that's all Tyra on America's Next Top Model, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, see, that's different, because it's like there's a producer there doing stuff, and then they're sort of fitting Tyra in, whereas Tyra is like a half hour or an hour, I don't know how long it is, of her, like in her ideas, and then her just sort of spouting off, and wow.
Did you see the movie she was in when she was a Barbie doll? That was a great one. It was a Disney movie where she was, I think it's called Living Doll, and it was with the redhead who is now like a crackhead, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
So Lindsay Lohan has a single stepdad, and he buys her this doll, and she's like, I wish you were like my mom. And then the doll becomes real, and it's Tyra Banks, and it like helps her out and follows
around.
Is this
like 90, in the 90s?
This
like...
is probably like 98.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was when Tyra just started. It's a great movie. I mean, as far as Disney movies go. But yeah, she's a Barbie doll that turns into a real doll. And she's just dumb as a post. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But she's very pretty. She has huge, huge titties.
Tyra or Lindsay?
Tyra. Oh, God.
We both do.
But Lindsay at the time was really young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when she was cute, when she had promise. Oh,
I know.
Lindsay.
She just had so much promise. Okay. So the other Tyler Perry tweet right before the stove thing was... I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by this. It just says, and this is all in like title capitalization, this is the moment, break on through. And it's a picture from his jet window just over like cloud cover.
So the other option is that you only sometimes believe or never believe at all.
Yeah.
Which I think are probably better options.
What, just instead of
only? Never believing. You experience as it happens, or... You believe sometimes when you think it's appropriate.
I think it's more like only believe, like never analyze.
No, that's the worst. That's the worst of all possible options, given those two words.
Exactly. Right. That's the worst of all. I think maybe never believe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who are you believing in? Are you believing in a person, in the cloud cover?
It doesn't matter. You just got to believe. You got to believe in something, whether it's clouds.
So, yeah, believing's probably one of the more empty words available to English.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah. And my brother is still super Christian, and so are my parents, and they were trying to get me to read. C.S. Lewis has a book, Mere Christianity, and that's the whole thing he talks about. Just believe. You just have to believe. You just have to have faith. That's what it's all about, just having faith. If you just have faith, then you would be rich. If you just had faith, then everything in your life would come around. If you just had faith.
I like that. I like Calvinism as an ideology. It's like, look, if you're successful, it's because you did right by God. And if you're not, you're kind of a fuck up, and we hope that you die.
That's really interesting. They think that way.
So at what point did you become a non-believer? Was it when you were in the cheerleading outfit and your husband wouldn't have butt sex with you?
No, I left Christianity. When I was 17, you know, I went to college. And then I did some acid and I saw God and we had a conversation and he was like, Christians are assholes. And I was like, I know, they're dick bags. And he's like, no, really, don't worry about it. He's like, spirituality's cool. Like, there's all this stuff going on. Like, just don't worry about those people. And then at that same time, I found out that the pastor that we'd all believed in forever, and I was at a big mega church with like 4,000 people, and the pastor that we had been listening to for the past 6 years, had written all these books and everybody loved him. He'd been sleeping with at least six of the women, came out and said that during their personal counseling, he was fucking them. So he was for 6 years standing up on a pulpit going, I have my three kids and my wife and I'm such a good Christian. Ha ha ha. Do what I say and do how I believe. And then to be an 18-year-old woman and be going to college and thinking for myself, and then all of that like preemptive knowledge that I'd really been zealotrous about, to find out that it was completely circumvented by this guy who is an awful person who I believed in. I honestly believed. And it was like, I'm supposed to believe in this person and even more who fucked up and even more than that. But no, I'm supposed to believe in the beauty of Christ. Okay. Yeah, sure. Did that guy exist like 2000 years ago? Is he really a dude or are we just making up stories? So at that point, and I was studying like through college, I was learning about Buddhism and Hinduism, and they'd always told me when I was in Christian school.
This is why the Christians don't like to send their kids to college. That's why they got to send them to Oral Roberts, because look what happened to you. You're the cautionary tale that all the Dugars are worried about.
I'm the prodigal daughter that'll never return. My brother actually went to a Christian college, and he got a wife. She didn't get a real degree. She got her MRS, which is what most Christians get.
Where'd he go, like Biola or something?
No, he went up to Seattle Pacific University up in Seattle. So small Christian college, separate dorms
Fresno
for boys
Pacific
and girls.
In Fresno.
There's Azusa Pacific. Yeah. There's a bunch of these.
What is the Pacific? Like, they throw Pacific on there like it's, oh, we're near the ocean, but it's like, no.
But it's not.
That's not what it means.
It has something to do with Jesus walking on water. I'm not sure. But it's about just being blinded and not thinking for yourself and just not having any concept of critical thought at all. Because anyone who has the critical thought wouldn't be like, faith, believe, just leap over that chasm of faith and that's what'll come to you. Yay.
Brett also was raised very religious.
No, I came from the opposite where it never really made any fucking
crack
sense to me.
In the ground.
Get back. Live in dirt.
Get back in your manhole. I just update. We're going to do this throughout the show. Brendan is now an hour and 5 minutes late.
And no text or anything?
Well, he said he was going to be, quote, hella late. I guess that sort of covers an hour and 5 minutes.
Or do you want to do over under on him not even showing up?
Ooh, that's a good one. At this point, I mean, he knows he's an hour late. There's at least a 50-50 shot that he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Especially with Ben gone.
What would he be doing instead? Is he drinking at a bar?
He works at a place that he doesn't want us to mention, but they love each other. They're like a little cult over there.
Oh.
And he's got his, he's like a coach. He's like a sales manager. So he gets to run. He gets to run his.
That was inspirational.
That was the next thing I was.
That's about to make me believe.
I was trying to cue it up. He's got his team. He likes to run his team. You know.
Right on.
We played the last time on the Frogcast. There's that guy that changed losing my religion to Major Key. Do you remember that, Brett?
No, sometimes you'll just get real quiet, and then that I take that as a cue to go get wasted by myself.
Okay. So the same guy, I think we played him. He took Hey Jude, and he reworked the whole thing in minor key.
Ooh, I'm going to fucking love this.
Yeah, I was thinking that. So here we go.
Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. To let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then
that was amazing.
I thought you guys would like that.
Oh, God.
Me and Brett are perfect opposites.
I really only select music based on whether or not I would want it to be my funeral dirge.
Oh, wow. You are dark.
That sounds like you.
It's mostly Daft Punk, though, so, you know, it's going to be a fun funeral.
Whereas I don't listen to anything in minor key because I want to be excited. I don't listen to anything unless it makes me want to punch inanimate objects.
Oh, so you like metal?
More of a punk guy than metal.
Punk.
Because metal's more, there's more posturing in metal.
I like paradiddles. I like it. I like it when drummers change time signatures in the middle of a song.
You're like a musician dork.
I'm a musician dork, but only metal musician dork. Or, you know, I used to listen to a lot of Fish. I got to be honest. I've been to 11 Fish concerts. So
see, I like the any of the metal that's not like... like they're not growling at me. I don't like to be growled at.
I'm big into instrumental because I can't stand how silly it is without them realizing how silly it is.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's too earnest.
If I do actual lyrics in it, I want them to be about Dungeons and Dragons.
Of course. Of course.
I want something that's super bubblegummy, but like with a sense of irony and it's really hard to find anything with interesting lyrics anymore. I've been listening to like,
you open with a unicorn song. You're saying that those are interesting.
I would fucking listen to the unicorn song. So that's interesting.
It is interesting.
She's got marshmallow lasers.
Yeah, of course.
Terry Gripp is like my favorite. We've had him on the show before, but that's like my favorite. I mean, because that's silly, but it's like self-consciously silly.
Yeah.
Because music's supposed to be silly. Agreed. You know what I mean? I don't like it when it's all serious.
Takes itself too seriously.
And the worst is like when it's... I've been listening to a lot of the alternative... Pandora station, and man, God, every band has the worst lyrics in the world. They're all so bad.
I like Arcade Fire's lyrical content.
I like Arcade Fire a lot too. They have a really layered sound. They have so many instruments going on that you really can't be bored.
Yeah,
the story is always kind of not quite there, but it's enough to where you're filling in the gaps.
Yeah, For many years, I absolutely refused to listen to Death Cab for Cutie because I thought the band name was like the stupidest fucking name I've ever heard.
It's true.
But I have to admit, they do have some like fairly intelligent sounding songs. So I'm like, all right.
Little cheesy, where it's all like, oh, and then she died in the hospital.
Yeah, it's a little cheesy, but
sad because it's the hospital.
I know it's serious. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a less boneheaded Live at times.
Yeah, very much so.
You have money to go see concerts?
No. Wow. Live the band.
Oh, Live. Oh, they're terrible. I used to love them in high school, but that I also loved Jesus in high school, so that tells you a lot about my musical taste.
Even in high school, I was like, okay, this band is retarded.
Yeah, Down by the Water, that was their first song. I was like, oh, I like them.
They have a song that starts with a woman's placenta falling on the floor.
That's true. It's early, but you're talking about like 95, 96
true.
Live. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That don't exist now, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Just date yourself there, Vince.
Yeah.
I would myself in a heartbeat.
Anytime we're talking about music is when I'm going to date myself real fast. Because like pretty much my sweet spot of music is like, I'm wearing a Less Than Jake shirt, for instance. 94 through 97.
See, I'm 91 to 95.
Yeah, I got that too.
This is the first I've heard of Vince listening to new music in the history of our relationship.
Oh, wow.
I try it, and it's just not
very good.
It's what
he likes, and he doesn't like anything that's not what he likes.
It's just not very good. There's some, I mean, like everybody talks about the Foo Fighters these days, and I think it's because Dave Grohl is such a nice guy. And Dave Grohl
Foo Fighters have never even scraped above average.
Dave Grohl seems like a really awesome guy, but man, yeah, they are the most boring fucking band. They're so boring.
Amen.
Their last one was mildly interesting, and that's the most I can give them credit for.
Well, they're hitting the middle. I mean, whenever you're hitting the middle, you're going to
so
be boring.
Because he's the best goddamn drummer there is. He's so good. Like
really?
Oh, he's so good.
I have to disagree. Oh, Jimmy Chamberlain of the Smashing Pumpkins can pound Dave Grohl into a pit.
No way.
Are you kidding? Jimmy Chamberlain from the Smashing Pumpkins? We're going to get into it right now. Yeah. Oh, my God. Pull up a Smashing Pumpkins song and pull up a stupid Dave Grohl song. And pull up a Nirvana song. Put up anything like that. You put Nirvana in 1991 against Smashing Pumpkins Gish in 1991, and you tell me that Jimmy Chamberlain does not
I'm sure
pound
he does.
Dave Grohl
I'm sure he does
into the
more
back.
Complicated
Dave Grohl
stuff.
Doesn't even exist. It's not even doesn't even move me. Like, oh, you're going to play the pocket? You're going to play the pocket in Nirvana, you little freak? No, like, it's Jimmy Chamberlain, man. I mean, come on.
I admit I didn't listen to as much Smashing Pumpkins because Billy Corgan always
is
me.
A douchebag. Yeah. Yes. But his drummer really helped him out. And that first album, Gish, is really great. And Pisces is Scary. It's a fun one. Of course, Siamese Dream is lovely. But once I got to Melancholy and Infinite Sadness, it's like, oh my God, you're so, like, such,
again,
his ego
again,
is so
listen,
big.
Listen to this name. Like, am I really going to want to listen to an album called Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness? Really? Yeah. Why don't I just slip my wrists in the bathtub?
There's some good songs on there. Ruby, Through the Eyes of Ruby is a really uplifting, beautiful love song. Great. It's unfortunate with that album because there was two albums and they could have just had one really kick-ass album. Mm-hmm. But instead, Billy Corgan's like, I'm so awesome. Yeah. We're going to have two albums. And it's like, you know what? Maybe you need to edit a little bit.
Even now, I read I think it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, he had a Rolling Stone profile, and the whole tone of it was Billy Corgan demanding to get his props, where he's like, oh, everybody talks about, you know, Eddie Vedder and Kurt Cobain, but no one talks about what a good songwriter I am, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, it's because you've been gilding your own lily since the 92.
I think he doth protest too much. I'm a really great songwriter. I'm a really great songwriter. Yeah, fine. Okay.
He's like the
fine.
American, is it Noel or Liam Gallagher? I can't remember which ones. Like,
oh, I hate those guys too. Bush, that's the worst.
No, that's Oasis.
Oh, wait, same.
But Bush is arguably worse than Oasis musically.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you.
Actually, I like Bush stuff. I like Machine Head.
Oh, man.
I had that tape.
Oh, man.
What is that? The one with the frog on it? Is it a frog? Fuck, I don't know. Razorblade Suitcase.
Since we're talking about 90s music, I used to really love Stone Temple Pilots. And, you know, I feel like now that I'm half the fan I used to be.
Yeah, they were good. They were a good band. It's amazing what a complete heroin addict Scott Weiland has been.
Did he die? Is he
no,
still alive?
No, he's still alive.
Jesus
Christ.
He
got kicked out of the band again like a few months ago, I think.
Well, they haven't made any new music. They're just playing their old songs. It's
Pam,
old songs.
Let's talk clown orgies.
Yeah, let's do that. By the way, I stole that joke from my boyfriend. That half the fan I used to be. That's actually one of his new jokes.
Yeah, Aaron does a lot of musical parodies.
Yeah.
And they're all very punny.
Yeah.
And I love them all. He has one about AC/DC singing about fries, McDonald's fries.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's a very good one.
Yeah. He's a funny man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want to know about clown orgies. Mm-hmm. So before I was
this
in...
This is not a bit.
No, this isn't a bit.
This is one of the reasons I wanted to have Pam on, because she's got stories about going to clown orgies.
Yeah, I've been to Burning Man a couple times, and I have some Burning Man friends. I won't ever go again because I don't have that kind of money.
Did you hear the collective gasp?
Yeah. I've been to Burning Man a couple times. What? I can't believe it. Yeah, but I won't ever go again because I really can't afford it.
It's got too corporate, right?
Well, if I got $1,500, I'm going to go to Australia.
Is it really $1,500?
It's hard to go there for a week in the desert where you have to bring everything out yourself, including gas and driving. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, I mean, $1,500 is making it moderately comfortable. And people spend even more than that. And that's even without an art project. I mean, $1,500 is, you know. Mm-hmm. So
I think we all picture sort of like these weird hippies at Burning Man, but I feel like knowing how much it costs, I imagine it's more like IT guys that are into like jam bands.
It's rich people that like to go to adult summer camp for a week, and they have enough money to do it. And they love drugs, and they take a week off, and they say, I'm going to go do crazy drugs in the desert. I'm going to dress like a Jedi, or I'm going to not wear clothes at all. I'm a shirt cocker, or whatever they're into. Fine. So Burning Man, blah, blah, blah. So I met all these people at Burning Man. They're very nice. And Burning Man was coming around, and my friend said, hey, we're not going. Are you going this year? I said, no. And they're like, can you be ready tomorrow morning at 7:30 for us to pick you up with a bikini and a towel? You really don't need much more. But whatever you want
always,
for 3 days.
Always a good invitation.
Yeah, they're like, we're not going to tell you where we're going, but we're just going to pick you up. We're going to take you there. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. So I get picked up by my friends. They're like, okay, so there's 16 people. They wanted a rogue 17th, and they wanted to know who it was. And they're like, Pam Benjamin is our rogue 17th. And I was like, all right. I had no idea what was going to happen. I had no idea where I was going. So they end up taking me to the Delta in Sacramento. And we end up, there's two houseboats there.
The
and I'm
river,
like, oh.
What is that? The, which?
Sacramento River.
Sacramento River. Okay. So up on the Kings, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's great. It was out there, and there's all these rivers and deltas and tributaries and all these things, and there's birds, whatever. So I'm like, oh, we're going houseboating. This is great. Okay, cool. So I start meeting people, and they're like, yeah, you're the rogue 18th member or 17th member. We've got eight people on this boat. We've got eight people on this boat. Did you know that we're porn clowns? I'm like, excuse me? They're like, haven't you ever heard about the porn clowns? You know, we've done Burning Man. We've done other things. I'm like, what? He's like, that's exactly what you think it is. Basically, we do clowning, and then we blow up balloons, and we lube them up, and we hop around in a circle, and we fuck each other with balloons. And I'm like, oh, you're the porn clowns. Of course. I've never seen this. You could look it up on YouTube if you want right now.
I think there was a real sex about it, wasn't there?
Probably. These people are crazy.
I think I saw real sex about porn clowns, but could be mistaken.
They're weird. They're crazy people.
Brett, do you know about the porn clowns?
I'm unfamiliar. Okay.
You can look them up. They're nuts. So I find out, oh, geez, I'm the 17th rogue member on this porn clown trip. And I get there, and I'm feeling a little bit. I'm like, you know, I'm game. I'm up for whatever's going to happen. And I'm adventurous. And I get on the boats, and I'm kind of doing my thing and blah, blah, blah. And one of them looks at me, and he goes, we love karaoke. And I was like, oh, my God, I love karaoke. Let's fucking do this. So the first night is a lot of drinking and karaoke. And that's fine. And I'm like, this is really fun. And then, like, we, like, made this silly video on top of the thing. And
this is on a boat.
This is on a boat. There were two boats, and we kind of hooked them up together. And we're around, and we're in bikinis all day and swimming and having fun. And everybody's sort of, like,
is it even mix of men and women?
Yes. Okay. Even mix of men and women.
So I'm assuming that's planned in advance.
Yes. And I'm the – so basically there were eight men, eight women, and Pam Benjamin.
Okay.
And there were some gay guys, and there were some lesbians, and there were some straight people and some other straight people. And then I realized, so the first night we start singing karaoke and everything's fun, and they start doing this GHB stuff, which I'd never done.
So what songs do porn clowns sing at karaoke night?
Oh, just regular songs. Yeah. Like These Boots Are Made for White, like just regular karaoke. Okay. Stuff. Like nothing, okay. Nothing super extreme. Just like
just all the classics.
They actually sang extreme. And like, but super classics.
I'm
yeah.
The
just
one who wants to be that one.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Okay. And loud. Like you, that's the thing is we're on the Delta, so we can't, no right. One can hear us. Right. There's nothing out there. It's just like birds and wheatgrass or something.
Yeah. Well, you gotta be somewhere far away from people so you can have all the horns and the slide whistles.
Well, there was. They actually. So we're doing karaoke, and some of them come out in clown makeup, and I'm like, okay, this is okay. And then they bring out the GHB, which I'd never done, and they're like, oh, it's just like you can't. When's the last time you drank alcohol? And no one else is smoking pot. They're just all doing this GHB stuff, and they're like, don't drink, and you can do this later. I'm like, oh, okay. They're like, it'll make you horny. I'm like, really? Okay. So I didn't do it the first night, but late at night, it sort of devolved into this like strange orgy outside and on top of the thing. And I was like, oh, I'm a little jealous. Like, what's everybody doing? They're like making out and things are happening. But I was like, you know, this isn't my crowd. I'm not really.
Is there all clown makeup during this?
Some people are in clown makeup. Some people aren't. One girl was really into flogging. And so there was.
And that means just hitting?
It's a really nice, like it's little tiny, like, strips of leather all together, but soft, and you like the next day I loved that. They put it against the twat and just it's very nice. So the first night I'm like kind of listening to everybody like doing all their weird stuff, and I'm like, I kind of would be interested in being into that, but I'm like I don't know these people, and that's not cool. Next morning I make breakfast, everything's fine. We sing karaoke in the day. I get more comfortable with these people. I don't drink all day, so I can do this GHB at night. It's true, it makes me horny, and I had got to be in my first orgy, which I didn't know, you know, and it was weird because I was like, okay, I can put my hands anywhere I want, and you can put your hands anywhere you want, but no dicks are going inside me, but fingers can go inside me, and I don't have a problem with oral sex as long as it's a girl. So I actually got my first oral sex. Actually, the first time I came from oral sex was with the porn clowns, because this girl who was like, oh, I'm bi, this will be great. She's like, just relax, this will be fine. And like in 30 seconds, I was like, oh my God, is that what it's supposed to be like? I'm like,
I've been married for too long.
Oh, my husband never went down on me, not even once.
Because
he's black. He was black. Yeah, they don't do that.
I didn't want to perpetuate any stereotypes.
No, he just wasn't. He wasn't into it, or whatever. But either is my boyfriend now. He's like, oh, smelly, weird things. I'm like, okay, fine. You're whatever. But so this girl goes down on me in like 30 seconds. I'm like, oh my God, that is great. So I got to have an orgy with the porn clowns, and some of them were in makeup, and some of them weren't. And we were all on GHB, and we were all on a boat, and it was weird, and we got to be loud and strange. And, I put things in my mouth, and they put things in their mouth, and my hands were everywhere.
Was there seltzer bottles?
Actually, there was.
Was some pie? But there was, please tell me there was pie and seltzer.
Well, there was a lot of hair pie, but there weren't any cream pies.
Yeah.
But it was actually, that was my first and only orgy I've ever been involved in, and it was really fun. And I'm glad it was with the clowns, because there were constant jokes, and there was a slide whistle. It was like a slide whistle dildo thing, though. There was a bike horn.
Yes.
No one put the bike horn in anything. I was hoping someone would stick the bike horn up their ass and then squeeze and make it go.
It's not there for sex. It's there for sound effects.
It was there for sound effects. Yeah. It was fun.
Was it like, slide whistle, a bike horn, like a whoopee cushion.
No, maybe whoopee cushion.
That elaborate sort of slipping on a banana peel sound effect, that would have been good.
Well,
the Flintstones starting a car sound effect. The whoop whoop. I don't know
how to do that. No, there were. Well, I didn't even have to worry about condoms because nothing was going like inside me like that. And I don't even know if anybody else was using them. But someone did at one point blow up a condom like a balloon and start playing with it around. But I didn't. They didn't actually do their. They actually do a gig. They actually do a thing where they have like a
performance.
Dance. They have a performance.
Oh wait, whoa! A dance.
They have like a dance performance.
Oh wow!
Where they kind of
like the haka that the Maoris do before they play rugby, but with clowns.
But with juggling Benoit balls and then sticking them in places. One of the girls,
is getting better and better in my mind.
Well, no, one of the girls juggles ping pong balls. Well, she sticks them in her mouth and she goes, and she does the ping pong balls up and around in her own mouth. And then she puts them in her vagina.
She juggles ping pong balls with her mouth and then vagina.
And then puts them in her vagina and pops them out at people. They're wonderful porn clowns. They're amazing.
Yeah, they sound really talented.
They're really, they're sexual. They are porn clowns.
Was there like regular juggling or just the mouth juggling?
Both.
Or?
There was a lot of regular juggling as well.
Did they pack into like a small car at any point?
No, because we were in two small houseboats.
Okay.
But we were on the roof and inside and on bunk beds and other things were happening. And and it was weird though because no one really ever sectioned off. It was all like a group thing, which I've never had group sex before. So that was like, it was weird. I don't know if I'll ever do it again.
I feel like there'd be a lot of disappointed people if I had group sex.
It wasn't disappointing at all, because if one person was disappointing, you could go to another person.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I'd be like, all right, well, I'm done. I'm going to go hang out in the cabin. You guys have fun.
But you know, you're just because your dick unloads doesn't mean your hands can't still.
That's true. But I get bored of it after my dick unloads. Yeah, a little bit.
But the GHB, I think, helped.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I was in a boat with a bunch of clowns on GHB, it might be a little more interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
GHB, by the way, got a lot of range as a drug. It's a workout drug. It's a date rape drug. It's a party drug.
It's a sex.
It's
drug.
It's a drug that you can somehow abuse on your own.
Yep.
What the hell? What's going on with that drug? What does it do?
These people made their own GHB. So, and you can do it. That what they use is you use an ACT bottle. So you put it
ACT,
the stuff you put in your mouth and it makes the plaque go away?
Okay.
So you squeeze it into the thing so you know how much you're getting. So you put the GHB into an ACT bottle and then you squeeze it so you know that you're getting this much. And then you take it. And having one shot of GHB is like drinking six beers. Okay. That's like the equivalent for me. So it was like I had one little shot of stuff, and I was like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm wasted. And then I had another little shot of it, and I was like, holy shit, I feel like I'm wasted. But I never got to the sleepy point. Like, I know some people will take GHB and take too much of it, and they'll be driving a car, and then they'll just fall asleep driving a car.
Yeah, I can't do sleepy drugs because I'm always pretty sleepy in general.
But it's like alcohol. It's like,
well, yeah, exactly.
It's like heightened alcohol. But I've never, I mean, it's not something I would seek out and be like, wow, I really need to find myself some GHB.
But if you're in a clown orgy and some guy with a slide
whistle, I would recommend it. If you're
he's juggling big balls of it.
Yeah, if you're in a clown orgy and someone has a slide whistle in your twat, I think the best thing to do is to take GHB.
If I was in a clown orgy, I would want someone to hit me with a pie right as I came. And then sort of,
that's
like,
fair.
Like I come and then someone hits me with a pie and then someone else is there to sort of squirt it off with a big seltzer bottle.
Perfect. Yeah.
Did that happen at all?
No. Man. Did someone get cum in their face? A lot of people got cum in their face, especially guys, which is really fun to see. Mm. I really like to see a guy with cum in his face.
Okay.
I like that. But, makes me feel better about myself.
Experienced like getting cum in their face, or was it like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, it was more like, where did that rogue penis come from? That's, all of a sudden, there's
fucking clowns.
Who was licking that rogue penis? Where's the cream in my face?
You
from?
You think your houseboat's sufficient, and all of a sudden you get a rogue penis?
Yep, it was fun. It was good. It was a good trip. I mean, will I ever hang out with the porn clowns again? I hope so. And will I ever have group sex again? Maybe. I don't know. I'm up for it. Everyone was very attractive, though. That was the other thing, is that, like, I kind of felt like I was the uggo of the group. I was like, there were on the other boat that I didn't have group sex with, they were the larger porn clowns, but I was on the smaller porn clown side. So there were no like fat people
at least from what I've gathered in porn is that, you know, you get like somehow the group setting, the attractiveness of the people in it becomes more than the sum of its parts, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
That seems to be the standard they use for bachelor parties and any sort of threesome porn. You know, you get the one attractive one, and then the other one, you know, you can sort of
come all over her face. Yeah. It's pretty much what it is. All right. Makes you look more attractive.
Okay.
I guess is how
Pam
that works.
Pam's direct. I don't know if you guys caught this throughout the course of our podcast. But doesn't mince words.
This is the thing. I used to be such a prude. I was a virgin till I was 20. And then, you know, all those things happened and I got married and I was really monogamous and all those things. And then
I
was
a wasn't the first guy that you had sex with.
Yes, he was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I just didn't. I mean, I was raised so Christian that I was even afraid to be naked in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, Jesus doesn't like this. Oh. And it took a long time to break down those walls. I don't think that I was comfortable with my sexuality till I was 36, 35, 36. Probably till the porn. I think the porn clowns are what beat it into me.
They really break down those barriers.
They really break down those barriers.
with their plastic shovels.
Wait, has anyone ever had group sex with like a straight face? Because I feel like the absurdity of the situation always creeps its way in.
Yeah,
I like that they're facing that head on, where they're like, "Look, this is going to get ridiculous real quick."
Yeah. So if you have a big weird smile painted on your face with yellow and red grease paint, that just makes it that much easier, doesn't it?
True.
Yeah. Just keep it all together.
Was there any clowns that just had really big penises?
You know what? I don't think that any of them had enormous dicks. I mean, I've been like, although my black ex-husband, he had a small dick. Sorry, ex-husband. But it's true.
I'm sure he's listening.
No, he doesn't. he and his wife and his two kids are like, thank God we got away from that weird woman. But they weren't, no one was bigger than 9 inches.
That's really big.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah.
It's huge.
Is it really?
That's like one. If you're packing 9 inches, you're like a one percenter. I don't know what.
Really?
I mean, I don't know what kind of measuring stick you're using, or maybe you're
9 inches is big.
Yeah.
Is it really?
That's huge. Yeah.
Really? Oh, maybe my ex-husband's dick wasn't so small.
Yeah. I liked. By the way, speaking of. Brett, I don't know if you probably didn't read the story because you hate my website, but
no, I don't hate it. I just don't know what it is.
We don't have time. That's fine. I get it. Whatever. But so I haven't been following the Teen Mom thing, but I do think it just got interesting recently because there's this Teen Mom, the chick that was on the MTV Teen Mom show. She hired that guy James Dean, who's like a porn star slash, you know, becoming a mainstream movie star, sort of. So she hired him
to be his babysitter.
She basically hired him to make a sex tape, but
with her, the 16-year-old.
Well, she's not 16 now; she's 21 now. And what it sounds like her and Vivid had this idea that they were going to get this guy James Dean, who's a porn star. And they were going to cook up a story in the tabloids about how they were dating, and then they're going to leak the sex tape, and it was going to be like a thing.
Money, you know, money, money, make
Vivid
money,
makes
money,
and this chick makes money. But James Dean was like, oh no, I'm not going to fake go out with you in the tabloids. That's stupid. Like, I'll have sex with you for money, but I'm not like a prostitute. Fuck off.
What?
And so now, she's trying to pass it off like, oh, this was just a tape for my private collection, and if Vivid releases it, I want $2 million or something like that.
And, wait, so did they go through with it despite the not dating part?
Well, they already had made the tape. The dating thing happened after the fact.
Was it planned? after it. That's nice.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm enjoying that the evolution of the sex tape as a way to get famous has sort of
reached the apogee.
It's gotten to 16 and pregnant. It's gotten to Teen Mom on MTV. Wow.
Well, it's gotten to the point where this reality star who's probably not very smart has realized that the way to get famous is to do a sex tape, and she somehow fucked it up so bad that it completely backfired.
That's where Ben is right now. He's actually making a sex tape.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he's not here
with him and his dead grandma. Are making a sex tape. RIP. I just poured out some wine on his floor. So she's mad at him that he wouldn't play ball. And one of the things that she told TMZ, which she was like, his penis is small. I haven't seen many, but his was definitely not big. And I was thinking, first of all, don't give us I haven't seen many. You just made a sex tape with a dude.
to get a little bit more famous.
Yeah. And you started on a show about how you were pregnant when you're 16. So don't give us the whole thing about how you're such a upstanding young woman. Second of all, if you're going to try and burn a guy by saying he has a small dick, probably don't go with a guy who's a porn star whose dick you could like pull up on the internet in than 3 seconds.
Right now, I don't want to see his dick. It's okay.
I'm curious.
I mean, I didn't know that 9 inches was big.
Maybe you're just eyeballing. Maybe you're not a good carpenter.
No, measure twice, cut once. Let's not cut. Exactly. Can we not cut penises? Can we just all agree that cutting penises is bad?
I disagree with you. Sorry.
You don't. You do you have a foreskin?
I do not. No.
Vince does not have a foreskin. Brett?
No, I don't.
No foreskin.
I have nothing against foreskins. I just don't. You know what I think? I think any time that we spend wondering whether people should have foreskins is time wasted. Because honestly, I could give a shit either way. Like, if you want to have a foreskin, hey, fucking have a foreskin.
But no, but it doesn't. Babies don't have choices.
I know, but you know what? I don't know too many people. Like, I don't know too many people who are circumcised who like spend their whole life crying about how they got circumcised.
That's true. I babysit a little boy who is uncircumcised. I've been with him since he was born. So I've had to, you know, clean his little pee-pee and everything, and it's fine. And I mean, it looks different, but I just don't see the problem with it. I don't understand why we
certain
chop
places
it off.
They're less well. You know, it's.
I don't understand it.
Well, look,
are there okay? So I don't watch porn. Are there uncircumcised penises in porn?
Oh, sure, lots.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an international affair.
I mean, it's like half and half. There's some people with uncircumcised, some people with circumcised.
So Brazilian tranny porn, is there?
I'm sure there's
circumcised, uncircumcised.
I'm sure there's both.
Okay. Didn't even know you were supposed to do that with a dick until I watched a little Brazilian tranny porn. I'm like, is that what they do with it? So that's a huge penis. Oh no. Well,
that's pretty normal. Looks pretty big to me.
It's pretty. I mean, that's probably 8 inches ish, right? It's hard, right? I mean, it's hard to tell with the, you know, it's thicker.
Sorry, we're
looking
at James Dean.
It's thick. I mean,
it's got nice girth.
That's nice. I think that the thickness is better than the length. I don't want anybody scraping my cervix. I don't like it. Hurts. It's not good. It's nothing to do. You're way past the G-spot. You're on my cervix. Ow, ow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the circumcision people will say, or the anti-circumcision people will say, like, oh, sometimes they botch circumcisions. But then at the other token, like, you know, you hear plenty of guys who weren't circumcised whose, like, foreskin didn't grow at the right rate, or they, you know, and they ended up having, like, a really tight foreskin. Like, I think they both fuck up in equal measure. The other benefit of circumcision is supposedly it's slightly less at risk for, like, getting abrasions and stuff. So I think the STD risk is slightly lower.
That's true. It's, God, sorry. My cat just took like a huge dump right behind me.
Well, I hate cat poop.
So it's going to get a little nasally. All of my uncircumcised friends throughout my life have all complained about it, I think.
All of your uncircumcised friends?
Yeah, they've all complained about it in that.
But I think
it's hard to do a full like shake at the end of a.
Interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're going to get a little dribble down afterwards?
Sure.
But I would think the masturbating would be easier if you have, you have that sheath. You got that.
It's its own lubricant. It's a different style
of masturbation.
Yeah, it's a lot easier on the girl's side. It's to give a hand job, I got to tell you. To an uncircumcised guy. Hand jobs are a lot easier and more fun.
Yeah.
And
hand jobs are really no fun when you're circumcised.
Well, they're kind of lame anyways. But if someone has a foreskin, they actually, that acts as its own like thing. It's like its own fleshlight.
Yeah,
like right there.
Yeah,
it has its own.
I will say this: having been to other countries, what you don't want is girls who are used to the circumcised penis or the uncircumcised penis having to deal with the circumcised one.
What, are they scared of it?
No, they're
very vigorous.
They're a little rough.
Oh,
because they've got more slack to work with.
Right. Right.
The Americans less so.
They're used to playing. They're used to bowling with bumpers, and you take those bumpers off, and it's just, you know, sometimes they throw a gutter ball.
Right. Ow. Ow. Don't put your balls there. Well, great. So I actually have an uncircumcision joke that I tell all the time. I say I want to take my boyfriend's dick. I want to pull it up. I want to pull the foreskin up. I want to put whiskey in his dick because I want whiskey dick for real. Can I get an amen? Yeah.
But so he is circumcised, though.
Oh, he is. That joke's not about him.
Oh.
That joke's just about joking. It's just a fictional joke.
Of course.
It's because I like to figure out new and sexy ways to drink whiskey, really.
Yeah.
It's about.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Brett.
Yes.
So I saw. I kind of think you guys should see Oblivion.
I was going to at some point.
I did not expect it to be anything, and I kind of liked it. Although, I'll say this. You know, I don't want to get Jezebel or anything on anybody, but when you got Tom Cruise, who's like 50 and 5'6".
Is he that old?
Yeah, he's that old. I mean, granted, he doesn't look that old. He looks pretty good. But when his two love interests are like a Ukrainian supermodel and then like some other like ridiculously hot chick, and those are the only chicks in the movie, it's kind of, I mean, just from a, I don't want to say sexist, it's just simply unrealistic for me.
Well, no, he has a lot of money. So,
but not in the movie. His character in the movie doesn't have a lot of money.
Right, no. But
here at the end of the world, all the ladies and the men are going to be super haggard. I mean, yeah, if you're, exactly. you're surviving a robot apocalypse, you're probably not the prettiest by the end of it because of all the metal.
Yeah. Like in real life, sure. If he's Tom Cruise in real life, shit, man, he could look like...
Just going to brunch or some shit. Yeah, that's a believable movie.
He could be lazy-eyed. He could be lazy-eyed and bald and 600 pounds and seeing him with, you know, a supermodel, like, all right, I get that. He's a millionaire. That's fine.
Sure.
But when he's in a movie and he's supposed to be playing a regular dude and he's a regular dude that just happens to have, like, you know, a bunch of... Like, in this movie, there's sort of a love triangle thing and both of them are, like, you know, ridiculously, like, model attractive.
Sure.
And you're like, really?
Well, I mean, look, there's all kinds of things like that happen in the movies. Bill Murray has had, and he's ugly as fuck.
Yeah,
I mean,
but he's awesome.
He is hilarious and awesome. And just because you're funny, it means you can bang hot young chicks. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, how many old chicks are there that get to bang hot young guys and then everyone's like, yeah, that's cool. See that in the movies. Yeah. Like, oh, she's 50 and she's gotten tons of work done on her face and she's banging 24-year-olds. Awesome. No, it is misogynistic. You're right. It is.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's sorry. Like...
Those girls are probably 22, 24 in that movie.
I think
and
she was
30.
50? I think she was early 30s, but she definitely looked younger. And then the other one had to be in her mid-20s.
Well, her character was 30,
yeah.
But she's probably 25.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know that it's like a systemic thing where it's like someone's idea. We're like, oh, we're going to do this on purpose.
Well, no, it is a systemic thing. That's why it's not someone's idea. It's just the way it's always been done, and
right.
it's been absorbed into the machine.
But
so
yeah, right. But I think that does. I mean, I think it does stem from certain. I don't necessarily think it's all. I think part of it is biological in terms of what men and women value in a mate, respectively.
Everyone knows bitches are stupid. Everyone, just stick your dick in their mouth and make them shut the fuck up. You know, that's just how it works. It's cool.
You're very
it's
glib.
Cool.
You're very glib, Pam.
Fine. I mean, who was Morgan Freeman fucking in that movie? Now he's too old. Now I'm really fucking
he's
it up.
He's fucking his step-granddaughter in real life, I think. But
no.
There was a story about him. I don't think there was denials, but there was rumors that he was having sex with his, like, adopted granddaughter, something like that. I don't remember. But he doesn't have a love interest in the movie.
He doesn't because he's too old.
Yeah.
Because he's too old. And once you're a man and you're over 60, unless you're Sean Connery, you know.
I think Morgan Freeman could pull. He's a Sean Connery type.
Sure he is.
He's got freckles.
I love Morgan Freeman. I saw him in the 70s on Electric Company, and I loved him. He was on Electric Company in the 70s. Yeah, that's a spinoff of Sesame Street.
When did you see
live? No, like when I was a child and I watched
TV.
TV.
You made it seem like I was there, man, for the first Electric Company tour.
No, I was there. Like, I mean, I was born in 74, so in 79 when that shit was going down.
Yeah.
I was watching it on the KPBS Channel 9, bitches.
Right on. So, Brett, Oblivion, pretty silly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, but I feel like this has become my main criteria for a movie and...
For going to a movie? This is your previewing criteria.
No, sort of like the root baseline. Am I like, do I like it? Do I respect it or not?
Oh, this is after you've seen the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I think the sort of root baseline is you get to the end of the movie and you're thinking to yourself, now, was that a story that someone wanted to tell because they wanted to impress me? Or was that a story that someone wanted to tell because they really... They had this thing that they had on their chest. Like, you know, they really wanted to get this thing off their chest. You know what I mean? Like,
which do you prefer?
Well, I mean, it's cool that you want to impress me. That's good. But that can't be like the only thing. There has to be, it's sort of like a joke. It's like, yeah, I want the people to laugh, but it's also, I want them to laugh at something that I think is really funny.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like when I watch a movie, like I want that movie to feel like someone like
you want authorship and you want to identify with the author.
I just want the author. I just want it to feel like the author did something. They made a movie that they would want to see themselves.
Yeah. I realize that that's sort of the impasse between me and Ben is he's looking for a movie and I'm looking for something produced by someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, I just want, I mean, I want, there needs, like, I know it's a giant cultural product that there's a million people in and they spent
I can't escape into it. And I'm not interested in escaping into it. And it's fun when that rare, like, those rare occasions where I'll fucking slip and I'll be involved in something. But most of the time, I want to see this pretty thing that someone has made.
Right.
Ew.
But then there's sort of, yeah, you want to see this pretty thing that someone has made that they've injected their own personality into.
And that they liked making.
Yeah, probably. Like, it has to have a personality, like an inherent personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
I thought it did have an inherent personality, which is, I mean, I didn't expect that from the guy who directed Tron, first of all, like at all.
I don't know why you got to hate on Tron. Tron was like all style, no substance. That is exactly what I was talking about.
Very good. But it was like...
The first Tron or the second Tron?
The remake.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's totally, if they just would have had Daft Punk do the music, and also they got M83 to do the music this time, so he's got a pretty good track record on popular electronic artists doing soundtracks.
Like uber dramatic. Actually, like, the reason it succeeds is, you know, it's really pretty. They shot the whole thing like in Iceland. I think Iceland was like the stand-in for ruined Earth. And then, you know, they have the incredibly dramatic music the whole time.
Yeah.
And it sort of doesn't explain the story until the very, very end. So it's sort of like you're withholding information until the very, very end.
Yeah.
And so even at the end, you're like, oh, okay, maybe that was a little silly, but pretty good the whole way through, I thought. I also saw it in IMAX. That probably helped.
Yeah.
How high were you?
I wasn't high at all.
Really? No. You go to see... Wait a minute. You spent $15...
I had a buzz on it.
You spent $15 on a movie.
No. I don't spend any money.
Oh, okay, because you're special. Yeah. I see, okay.
No,
Well, never mind. Then you can see whatever you want.
I go in there, I bypass the line, they have reserved seats for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty good. And I bring in my own food and drink.
Wow.
I brought in the Trader Joe's... The
tarragon chicken wrap.
No.
That one is so fucking good.
No, but what you got to get is these. It's shredded toasted coconut chips. It's these coconut chips they have a little bit of sugar on them and they're toasted. Yeah. Oh man, those things are like crack.
Oh man,
they're really good.
Yeah. It's like putting down 4,000 or 5,000 calories per bag.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen Vince? He doesn't need to worry about it.
I ride my bike a lot these days. Yeah. I rode my bike twice.
You look
here.
Like you bench press your bike, or more than that, heavier than that.
So many bikes.
So many bikes. It's like 12 bikes.
Motorcycles.
Bench pressing motorcycles in his apartment. Ladies.
So I appreciated the fact that it was IMAX but not 3D, and I love a nice IMAX that I don't have to wear stupid glasses
for. I can't
watch
3D.
You get good seats.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't watch 3D.
No,
I can't.
I hate 3D.
It makes me, I'm so high all the time anyway, that just seeing things in 3D, I'm like, my life is in 3D. Mm-hmm. And then to see something that like I'm supposed to be 2D, 3D, like it gets me nauseous. Yeah. I don't like it.
I don't know if this is a function of me not having to wear glasses on a regular basis, but when I go into a 3D movie, you know, I have to wear glasses the whole time. And I don't know. I think it's partly the 3D where your eyes are sort of crossing, like it sort of, you know, it's like the magic eye thing, basically. So your eyes are always a little bit crossed. Sure. And it gives me a headache, and I sort of, my eyes are watering the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not very comfortable.
You guys want to get nerdy for a second?
Sure.
All right. So there's this thing coming out from a Kickstarter campaign called the Oculus Rift.
Uh huh.
And it's essentially ski goggles, but they've got cameras mounted in them. And it's apparently the first time they've done virtual reality correctly.
Right.
In the history of this being a thing. Okay. So it's sort of making good on the promise, according to the people who've got the early models. You kind of have to acclimate yourself to it, because you can still get super barfy.
Uh-huh.
And I looked into some of the research on it, and the tolerance is... 20, like under 20 milliseconds before your body recognizes that you're not moving at the same speed you're seeing images, and then you throw up.
Oh.
Seasick, the latency, like if the camera lags a little bit in the stuff they're showing through the video camera, there's what is like 20 milliseconds is less than a quarter of a second, I think.
Got me.
That's how it breaks down. There's very little margin for error before you just start puking your fucking guts up.
The Hocking County Sheriff's Office.
Sorry.
I love that when you do that. You do that a lot. I like it every time.
I don't ever want the puking to happen. It happens too many times in the morning when I wake up and I've had too much wine the night before.
Morning sickness.
It's terrible.
No, baby, morning
sickness, just alcohol sickness. Mm. I hate that when your mouth gets all watery and you just have to puke. It's awful.
I don't get bad hangovers, but I get like this. It fucks up my sleep because if I drink the night before, I'm going to wake up.
You get hot and sweaty and
weird. Hot and sweaty, and you get the booze rooster, which is like 6:37.
Oh,
you wake up.
That.
And you can't go back to sleep.
Your body is basically like, this is it for the alcohol. It's gone now. Now we're just dealing
now
with withdrawal.
Now it's all sugar. Now you're super wired.
So back to your.
I'll get back to the virtual reality stuff, but I've started shaking now during my hangovers, convulsing, and shallow breathing.
Do you get motion sickness?
Me?
Yeah.
I used to get really motion sick as a kid if I read something in a car, but now I can read on the bus, in a car, whatever.
Anecdotally, I've found that people who get motion sickness have bad hangovers, whereas like I never got motion sickness and I don't really get bad hangovers. I think there's some correlation between motion sickness and
holy shit. I went to the neurologist for my migraines and I am all of the check marks in their migraine column. And apparently it's motion sickness, not necessarily as an adult, but as a kid. Mm-hmm. Some people don't get brain freezes.
Do you get brain freezes?
I do. And the people who don't get brain freezes apparently are completely immune to migraines.
Interesting.
So there's all kinds of fucked up wiring in there. Bring it back. So people are already making porn for this VR thing.
No!
Yes.
3D
and so I'm thinking
porn?
About it and I thought, that's
virtual
awesome.
Reality
one.
Porn, yeah.
And two, that's...
Porn.
That's the worst idea ever because you're absolutely completely vulnerable because your eyes are totally covered and your pants are around your ankles and who knows what you're jerking off onto or where you're at or who's walking in.
You gotta be in a locked bathroom.
Yeah.
It's totally...
You're gonna have to barricade yourself in and possibly like get a little collar or something so you know you're not wandering out into the street.
This is Brave New World shit. This is the feelies. This is group... Like orgy porgy pudding pie. This is totally like Brave New World kind of shit.
Indeed.
Like we're doing.
I can just imagine being walked in on with that thing, just standing there with your eyes completely covered by the black box, dick in hand.
On the same token as the motion sickness thing, did your pee stink when you eat asparagus?
Totally.
Supposedly that only happens to like 30% of adults or something
does
like that.
Does that mean I'm special?
I know. I read that, but that doesn't make sense because almost every I can't think of anybody that I know whose pee doesn't stink when they eat asparagus.
Yeah. Some people taste cilantro as soap.
Yes, I've heard that they think that cilantro tastes – they say it's the most oppressive of herbs. I love it.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I love cilantro.
Yeah, I could fucking power through a cilantro sandwich.
I use cilantro like a crazy bitch. I put it in everything. I love it.
Man, I made an excessive amount of chili verde this week, like I always do. I have this thing where I make salsa to procrastinate. I sort of cook like unnecessary amounts of food whenever I'm stressed out or procrastinating. And I just had a whole refrigerator full of various salsas and chilies.
What are you possibly procrastinating against? Like your job is awesome. Like you don't have any, like what you're procrastinating, right? I got to write a joke right now. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
It's hard.
I got to write,
it's
I can't write sometimes. A joke. I'm trying to write a joke.
These
I'm going to make
Photoshop
some salsa.
Do not make
I have to go to a free movie and sit in the middle.
I have to go to a free movie and eat cilantro.
I need to make chili verde.
Hey,
so I
got
to the free
stress
movie.
In my life, you guys. Don't
yeah, stress? Oh. You don't even have a cat here. What do you have?
Sometimes I think I'm too fit.
Yeah, I'm too. I look too good. I'm booked too much. I'm doing too many headlining comedy events. Oh no!
That was my first one ever.
Well, no, that's great though. You're at the punchline.
I got that clip of the police chief guy about the pot cake.
Office is trying to get to the bottom of who's responsible for drugging a local police chief. As 10 TV's Josh Poland tells us, this all began when Laurelville Police Chief Mike Berkmeyer ate some cake that was just sitting on his kitchen counter.
I got up in the morning and ate it, the entire thing.
Shortly after eating that cake.
First of all.
Dad is great. He ate the chocolate cake. Oh.
Like, who wakes up and sees a cake and they're like, I'm just going to eat this entire cake.
I do that.
Really?
I would eat chocolate cake.
Yeah, if there's like baked goods out and I do it in the morning too, I'll just roll in and just fucking demolish it. It's just like.
I don't think I've ever eaten more
pieces
than a slice
of brownies
of
on the floor, and I'm just
What flavor of frosting? It depends on the frosting for me.
That's true. Ooh, if cream cheese frosting, I might go to town.
If it's a carrot cake with cream cheese frosting, fuck it, it's gone.
See, that's breakfast food, all right? That is a breakfast food.
For realsies.
I don't think carrot cake is actually any good. It's just that it's got that cream cheese frosting on it. And shit, man, I'd eat like a dirt cake with cream cheese frosting on it.
Weed in that. Yeah. Hey, what does a policeman say?
Laurelville Police Chief Mike Berkemeyer says he began to feel sick like never before.
All I can describe is it was the worst feeling in the world. I thought I was dying.
Berkemeyer says all he could think to do was make the short drive to the Laurelville Police Station for help.
Don't remember much of the drive here, even though it's only a few blocks.
Nice job, police officer.
Great idea. Walk, you dickbag. Yes. Don't drive your fucking car.
I better get behind the wheel of an automobile. I'll hit the sirens. It'll be great.
Was met by a couple of the medics from the fire department.
Berkemeyer tells me medics transported him here to Berger Hospital in Circleville, where doctors performed tests to try to figure out what...
Wait, he went to Berger Hospital in Circleville.
He's like, I need a burger, bitch.
That's a burger place. There's a place called Berger Hospital in Circleville.
Dude.
It's magical.
Dude, let's go to the Berger Hospital. they fix burgers.
In Circleville.
What was wrong with him?
I kept trying to explain to them that this wasn't getting any better. It just got worse. And I felt like I was out of my mind.
Berkemeyer says a phone...
No, you don't understand. I'm really, really... Time's going by really, really, really slow right now.
I'm concerned my depth perception might now be located in my tongue.
Okay, for the record... Brendan is now 2 hours late. I don't think he's... I mean, something tells me he's not coming.
Is he cute?
He is.
I'm just curious.
Phone conversation from his hospital room revealed the source of the drugged feeling. Berkemeyer's daughter told his fiance that the cake the police chief had eaten was laced with a high concentration of cannabis oil.
Yay.
My fiance hung up the phone and called for the nurse and said, get a nurse here right away. You know, I know what it is.
Berkemeyer says,
It's weed! It's weed!
I CSI'd that shit.
Pussy.
Rest.
Fucking pussy.
We're gonna need a weed trip, Shepherd. Get her in here. All right,
Sherpa.
All right. You're in a field. You're in a field. You're petting a beautiful puppy. You're petting a beautiful puppy, and there's some dew on the ground, and you're just rolling in the grass. Oh, and do you hear that? Do you hear that? It's the ice cream man. Good thoughts. Good thoughts.
Doctors gave him a sedative to sleep off the pot-laced cake's effects he never wants to experience again.
It was probably the scariest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
And Laurel,
you're a cop. You're a fucking police chief. The scariest
in Circleville, though. the next one down on scariest things that have ever happened to him is that he once got lost in the parking lot. Yeah.
I couldn't find my own tail in Circleville.
It's like a big, I don't know, oval or something around here.
It's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
I hate that guy. Pot is nothing. It's no big deal.
I freaked the fuck out.
I freaked out too, but
I think externally I do a great job. I don't think anyone could tell that I'm freaking the fuck out when I am.
Yeah.
I think I twitch, and that's about the only external sign that anyone can tell that I am entering a world of introspective horrors.
But in the moment, I can see how it's horrifying. But when you take a step back and you're like 3 days later and you're like, oh man, that shit was so scary. Really?
I hope that police chief cried. I hope he totally cried like a little baby.
This is all a publicity stunt to
badmouth weed, because weed is a devil.
he's totally gonna catch flack because he cried from his fellow officers, and so he's like, "No, dude, I was like really on drugs. You don't know what it was like."
Can you imagine the idiots he has working there? If he's the chief and getting stoned on pot is the scariest thing that's ever happened to him, he must have like Gomer Pyle and Barney Fife working for him.
Once I took a fentanyl patch and had it on for a couple days, because it's a 3-day patch. It's supposed to give you morphine. And what I realized from that is I'll never be a heroin addict. I hated it.
Really?
I didn't like it at all. It was awful.
How come?
I puked a couple times. It took me 45 minutes to complete a Winnie the Pooh word search, which was made for like a fifth grader. Like I actually was trying, I'm like, Tigger backwards, where is it? These letters mean nothing to me.
It's got to be
what
here.
What am I doing? It took me like 45 minutes to do a Winnie the Pooh word search. And then I tried to make myself a grilled cheese sandwich and I almost burned down the house. Like it was really a nightmare. I'm never going to do fentanyl again.
Yeah, it's a separate mindset that's good on pills. I don't understand how that brain works.
I confess that I do. I mean, I don't know. I enjoy a light opiate. I don't know about the strong ones, but just a nice Vicodin. I do remember when my friend took a whole morphine pill. And then
good morphine, the organic stuff, not the synthetics.
I called him and he was just giggling hysterically and I couldn't get him to be coherent. And I was like, "Hey, you gotta come pick us up, man." And he's like, and he's just giggling and he can barely talk. And he's like, I can't do it. My car doesn't work. I was like, "What's wrong with your car?" And he's like, I took the wheels off and I replaced them with squares. The ride's a little rough now. And I'm like, "So what? Hey, just suck it up and come over here." He's like, "Nope, I can't because I also took the engine out." we just sort of went on like that back and forth for a while.
Oh, morphine. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I accidentally took PCP once.
I always wondered what that was like.
Oh, it's awful. Somebody, we were in Mexico, and we were on the beach, and we'd been drinking beers all day, and they dry-landed us, which is terrible. That's when a guy hugs you and then pees in his pants, and then you both have to run into the ocean because you have pee on you. It's awful. College. Like dry-landing. It's a terrible thing.
Oh, solid.
So these guys dry-landed us. They're like, "Hey, you want to smoke some pot in our, you know, hotel room?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds great." So me and my two other friends, we went there, and I smoked first, and I smoked it, and I was like, "Ladies, this is not weed." And like immediately the world like sucked back into a vortex and then went forward and everything went in like the super 3D, like nauseous 3D. And I was like, "Don't smoke that. Let's get out of here." And they're like, no, everything's cool." I'm like, "No, it's not. We're getting out of here." So we went to the car and we were in a parking lot. And not only could I not figure out how to open the car, I had no idea how to operate a motor vehicle, nor did I have any idea how to get out of the parking lot. Like, I was like, "Where are we?" Mm-hmm. it was really rough. Like, it was a total disassociative. It was, like, just as disassociative as ketamine. It was rough. It was weird. And we sat there in my car for, like, 4 hours till I knew how to turn on the car again. And I was like, "Are those letters on that building? Are those 3D? And they're like, no, I don't know. And so I had to go touch them. And I was like, "Oh, what's going on?"
It's a good question only people on drugs ask.
Are those 2D or 3D?
Are those things in real life three-dimensional?
How coming at me are the stars?
It was, I've never done PCP of my own volition and I will never do it again. That's what I have to say about that. Mm-hmm. And I love drugs. I love them. But
I feel
that
like
one,
I'm too old to do certain, like the fact that I haven't tried certain drugs ever and now I'm like
I feel
over
really
30.
Bad I missed out on acid.
Acid's great. You can still do that. Don't worry. Don't do salvia. Don't do PCP. If you haven't done heroin yet, don't start. Meth is terrible. I was in and out of that for 3 months. I got pretty into it for 3 months and then I jumped right out of it. Thank God.
I had a girlfriend that swore by meth.
Oh, it's terrible stuff.
When was that?
I'm not going to say her name. She's one of the good ones.
What year?
She's the fun one.
Give me a year.
Huh?
Give me a year.
Well, how is that good listening? No one knows what
just
year I dated
me
people.
For me. You're in New York. I can't see you. You could like write it down if you're in the same room.
It was in San Diego. It was one of the ones we all liked.
Okay.
And continue to like.
Oh, right. Okay.
Meth is bad.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah. 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 So.
3 months in and out.
All right. I think we can wrap this one up.
Yeah. Say Pamptastic's Comedy Clubhouse once or twice.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Plug yourself. Plug yourself.
Every Friday from 8 to 10, Pamptastic's Comedy Clubhouse. It's a live comedy show. It's an open mic and it's also a podcast, so you can listen to it anywhere in the whole universe. And it's on mutinyradio.org and really great. And then once a month it turns into a showcase that Vince was on last month, which was
yeah
amazing.
You will hear me trying out bad new material there on occasion.
You can listen to the show from it was 4-1 was it on 4-1
four or something.
Anyways, if you look at all of my podcasts are there in perpetuity, and you can listen to the first one of every month, and there are great comedians, and it's free and download it on the internet. Please listen. MutinyRadio.org, Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back next week. I was going to have an interview with Shooter McGavin, a.k.a.
Are you kidding?
Christopher McDonald. I interviewed him the other day. We had a really good conversation. And
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
I know. We talked about that. We had a great conversation. And at a certain point, like, I interviewed Rob Delaney last year, and I tried to record it on my computer, and it didn't work. And ever since, I've been doing all my interviews on my iPhone voice recorder because it's, like, foolproof.
Sure.
My iPhone voice recorder took a big shit on me.
It moves
the whole time, and then when I pressed pause, it froze, and then it was gone.
Apple.
So I didn't get the audio from that interview, and it was a good interview. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know why I told the story, but I did.
I always thought the guy who played Shooter McGavin was Joe Piscopo for a minute. Why do they look so much alike? They look so much alike.
He was so he calls me. He called me about 10 minutes before we're supposed to do the interview, and he's like, "Hey, this is Chris. I got to get my library card. Can we push the interview by 10 minutes?" I'm like, "Sure, yeah, whatever." So I ask him if I can call him back for my Skype number in about 10 minutes, and I'm supposed to call him at 9:15 the other morning. And I call him at like 9:16, and it goes to his voicemail, and I'm like, all right, I leave a message. And then about a minute later, he calls me on my cell phone. He's like, hey man, what's the deal? You're supposed to call me 3 minutes ago. kind of dickish, like movie villain style.
Wow.
I'm like, all right. I'm like, hell no. I called you a second ago on the Skype. You might not have recognized the number. And he's like, are you affiliated with Nick Mancuso? And I'm like, no. He's like, that's so weird. Your number's coming up as Nick Mancuso on my...
Who's Nick Mancuso?
Apparently he's an actor that Shooter McGavin knows.
Wow.
And my phone was coming up as Nick Mancuso on his phone. Hmm. But we had a talk after that.
Vince Mancini. Sounds pretty familiar.
I know,
actually.
Right?
Nick Mancuso, Vince Mancini.
Yeah, we get the same first four letters.
Yeah, it sounds kind of...
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Many letters.
Pamtastic's Clubhouse, Comedy Clubhouse. Yay. On mutinyradio.org.
Yay.
Brett...
Yeah.
Is there. He'll be here next week. Don't worry about him.
I'm here and will be.
How's
there.
New York? Is it springtime? Springtime was the
fucking spring up all up in this bitch.
Spring is by far the nicest season there.
It's very nice here.
With the tulips. There's tulips everywhere, huh?
There's fucking like pretty trees now instead of dead trees.
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism for pussy? Tulips?
Yeah.
There's tulips everywhere.
Yeah.
Tulips.
That's right.
Everywhere.
Everybody knows that in New York, that's what you call some sweet tail.
Yeah.
Oh, that tulip. Ooh.
Well, join us next week. We'll have Brendan and Ben back. And, you know, we'll have some fun stuff to do. All right.
Thanks for having me. It was lovely.
No, thanks for coming on. Clown
Orgies. Thanks for the wine.
Always fun. Frogcast.com. You can subscribe now. You know. Throw us a couple bucks to keep the server just the bandwidth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I miss Ben.
We do have to pay for that. But anyway, thanks a lot. Good night and good chins. Boom.